So, all right, moving along to our next presentation. It is going to be on equitable and declaratory remedies for ultra vires acts. And it's going to be presented by Grant Martinez, who is a partner at Yetter Coleman, who focuses on high stakes commercial litigation and appeals. And he is a graduate of both Stanford University and Yale Law School. So we know he's, you know, a real smarty. So we'll bring him up here and learn from him.
Thank you, everyone, and good morning. I'm Grant Martinez. I am not so sure that I am a real smarty. I am from Yetter Coleman. We're going to talk about equitable and declaratory remedies for ultra vires acts, or how to make sure that state officials are not above the law. I'd like to start out by thanking my colleague and co-author, Jason LaFond, who provided valuable insight and assistance on our paper. So here's an overview of what we're going to talk about today. I'll give a bit of background about sovereign immunity and ultra vires suits against state actors. I'll give a bit of tips about practice in Texas state court, the key aspects of litigating these cases, and then I'll give an update on the impact of the 15th court and recent case law on these cases. So in the 1870s, Robert E. Lee's son sued federal military officers overseeing Arlington National Cemetery, which the government had unlawfully confiscated from his mother, Mary Lee, during the Civil War. And the United States came in and said, no, you can't sue us. There's sovereign immunity. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, no way. No man in this country is so high that he is above the law. No officer of the law may set that law at defiance with impunity. All the officers of the government, from the highest to the lowest, are creatures of the law and are bound to obey it. Well, that sounds great. So how do we put this into practice? Well, it turns out it's very hard. Sovereign immunity bars claims against the government without its consent. Where does this doctrine come from? It comes from England, where for many centuries the crown was immune from suit without its consent. Now, I say here sort of because the scholarship tells us that although this was the rule, this was the nominal rule, in practice there were lots of exceptions that made the rule not quite so harsh, and there were lots of ways to sue the government in old England. Well, some of those exceptions that reduced the harshness of the doctrine got lost in translation when we came to the United States. And in the founding of our country, a lot of people saw no reason to change from sovereign immunity, even though we had fought a war and formed a constitution rejecting the English style of government, where we were going to have popular sovereignty, where the government was going to be accountable to the people. But Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 81 says it's inherent in the nature of sovereignty that the government is not amenable to suit without its consent. And a lot of the early U.S. Supreme Court cases seem to take it as a given that the government is immune. How did sovereign immunity come to Texas? Well, in 1840, the Congress of the Republic adopted the common law of England via statute, and sovereign immunity is a common law doctrine, so that's arguably when it came here. And then the Supreme Court of the Republic of Texas first recognized sovereign immunity in 1843 in a good opinion by Chief Justice Hemphill. A few years later, as the state of Texas, the Supreme Court of Texas said no state can be sued in her own courts without her consent, and then only in the manner indicated by that consent. And this is the classic statement of sovereign immunity from sort of the early days of statehood in a case called Hosner versus DeYoung from 1847. So if the government does not consent to being sued, then is there no remedy? No. We have something that is sometimes called the officer fiction. We have something that is sometimes called the Young fiction. And the Young fiction is really from England. So we have Young fiction really from England. In England, the king's officers could be sued for illegal acts, including for damages.